Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm your host, Merle Exit. Wow, we had some interesting thing on this coast, on the East Coast here. Well, right now it's 6 p.m. My time. Actually, the song I probably should have opened up with was, should have been Carole King singing, I Feel the Earth Move Under My Feet. Yeah, that's probably what I should have. That was me, by the way. I didn't feel anything. As a matter of fact, I had just finished watching all my children, and I was busy doing something, and then I, changed the channel, and all of a sudden I get the news on, and they're talking about this earthquake, and I'm thinking to myself, what the heck was I doing? I'm in my house. I didn't feel anything. I had somebody, somebody was here, even doing the, the weed whacker in front of my house. I didn't feel anything either. Now, it was kind of weird, though, because, I kept on thinking, I was looking, did my cats react? Because, my chickens, as far as my chickens, well, that's, that was, yeah, that's Esther. Wait, with Eunice? Well, they didn't really, have some kind of big reaction at all. I mean, it wasn't anything that I noticed. But now, if my cats, I thought at some point, their ears went up or something. And I just, assumed that it had to do with, the guy doing the weed whacking. And then there was a piece of paper on the floor in my kitchen. And I just thought, they usually don't go on go up to a certain thing in my kitchen to knock it down, and I kind of wondered about that. So, I don't know, maybe that was the time when the earth was moving under my feet. But in the meantime, I got a great show. It's all about music, the show. I have a singer, Jared Fink, spelled F-I-N-C-K. As opposed to F-I-N-K, and he's going to be performing this Sunday here in New York City in Queens, and I'm going to have his latest hits for you to hear, Runaway, as well as his first single called Goodbye. Then joining me is Ernie Leibovitz to talk about, it's his music hobby, and it's got him singing and jamming with other what they call song weavers, and we'll be hearing two songs from his CD. And then I have, I was in a bakery, and I met this woman named Sonia Perkins. We got into conversation. It turned out that she said she was a singer and just happened to have her CD. So we're going to have her on as well. I was hoping I would get somebody else. I'll talk about that later, but let's go on to right now. The first thing you know what? It's time for a commercial. You know that. Okay. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy tale brownies. they may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Yeah, and you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. I'm starting to sell them past just not just Phoenix. I hear there's places in California, but you know, if you're not around there, you got to go on the website. Well, you know, it'll have to get mailed to you, but it's certainly worth the wait, and worth the wait, W-E-I-G-H-T, too. Yeah, they're really good. Okay, so now let's open up here, and Jared, are you there?
Oh, this is Jackie calling for Jared Fink. Just 1 second.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, Jared.
Yeah, this is Jared.
Hi, Jared. How you doing? Merle Exit. You're on the air.
I like being on the air.
Good. Well, do you want me to play one of the songs for you to introduce you?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
Okay. Should we play? I loaded up Goodbye and Runaway. Which one should we play first?
Let's just go with Runaway. That's the one on the air right now. So we're working.
Okay. So let's hear...
Cause when my world stops turning, I see no reason to run away. I don't even know why. Everybody seems to pass me by. My walls are caving in, the empty sound of a lost feeling. Another reason to run away from you. 'Cause
Really great.
Oh, thank you.
So, Jared, how long have you been singing?
I think since the womb days, but pretty much all my life.
The womb days. So, when was the first time you were out there singing?
I didn't really start doing a lot of public stuff till in college, really. But you know, my grandparents were in choir a lot, and it was kind of a family thing. There's a lot of music. You know, my parents and grandparents were really into certain choir, and so they were always trying to kind of stuff.
Where'd you grow up?
In a farm town called Odessa, of about 1,100 people in the middle of a wheat field. So it was a pretty interesting.
Are you on a cell phone, by the way?
Yeah, I'm in New York City at the Gibson facility right now.
Oh, I could see you're going a little bit like in and out every so often.
Oh, sorry. Now I'm trying to go out here. I might get a better signal.
Oh, okay. So you were saying you grew up in a state, you mean?
Yeah, in Odessa, Washington.
Oh, Odessa, Washington. I heard Odessa near the Washington. I'm going, wait, isn't there an Odessa like in Russia or something like that?
No, just a big wheat field, lots of combines, cows and chickens and horses and things like that.
Oh, cool. So you started, what did you do, grab the guitar first or start singing first?
I actually started playing jazz a lot. I played trumpet when I was a kid and kind of just went instrument to instrument, started playing piano and then drums and guitar and vocals. And then I got to college, I kind of just really started jumping around a lot and took a lot of music theory classes and things like that to try and learn to play as much as I could.
Are you self-taught, or did you, like, get lessons on everything?
Most of it was self-taught. I didn't really get lessons until I was in college, and they told me all the things I was doing wrong. And that was...
What instrument did you actually get the lessons on?
Guitar.
On guitar. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking is that I had taken piano lessons when I was young, and after the piano was like... Well, now I can play any other instrument as long as I figure out how it works.
I wish I would have had piano lessons when I was young. I really do. That's probably my favorite sounding instrument is the piano.
And when you're doing your show, are you playing the guitar?
Yeah, we do. I'll do acoustic and then electric, and then a couple of songs I'll play piano on. So we try to get some versatility and different sounds coming out from the group as much as we can. So.
So how large is the group, by the way?
We're five.
Five. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And so you grew up in and what was the first like place that you got in front of people? How old were you when you got the band together?
My first band show, I was probably 18 years old actually, and I was always too scared to sing in front of people.
Is it right to ask how old you are now?
We never tell.
Well, I mean, are you, since I haven't seen you yet, since I want to see you till Sunday, I mean, are you in your what age? I mean, like, when you say,
I just turned 30, so.
Oh, okay, so it's not, okay, so it hasn't been many, many years that you've been I just wanted to kind of get an idea. So that was the first time that you kind of like had a band. And
yeah.
When was the first time that you went to, if you want to call it a big city?
Oh, big city. Well, I was probably about 15 years old. We probably, Seattle was about as big as it we got when I was a kid. Even Spokane was a big city for us, so. But now I can't get enough of it. I love traveling. I love meeting people. I love the food and the culture. It's really my favorite time is kind of being on the road and just experiencing new people and new places and things.
So the CD that you had that with the single Goodbye, is that the first single?
Yeah, it was a CD. Goodbye was our first single off of the album, and that was kind of our, we were trying to, you know, just step out into the industry and do some radio stuff, and Runaway is the second one, and then we had that remixed for radio, and I released it as a single too.
Okay, so that was the first, CD basically,
yeah,
that had Goodbye on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you haven't, in other words, you haven't produced like a whole series of CDs at this point.
Yeah, no, the album has 14 tracks on it, so that we're out
right
now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's the album with Goodbye, and I understand. Are you coming out with another one?
What's that?
Are you coming out with another CD?
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking around fall to, you know, get back into the studio and start putting the new record together. I'm real excited about that. So.
And by the way, do you compose all your songs? Are they all original?
Yeah, I write all the songs. So that's kind of like my thing. I think more than anything is I like writing songs. That's probably my favorite part about it. I'm a, you know, huge Lennon McCartney and Simon and Garfunkel and James Taylor and just guys that, you know, really put good songs together. It's kind of what really interested me at the start. And coming from jazz background, composing and improvising and things like that's always been a big thing for me in music.
So do you do both the lyrics and the music?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What seems to get you, like, when you're working on a song, do you work on one first and then the other?
No, it's kind of, there's real, no real, I guess, equation or rhythm to it. It just kind of happens. You know, sometimes you're in the shower and you'll just start singing a lyric, and sometimes you see something and something pops in your head, or sometimes a melody will just come out of nowhere. I don't really know, but I usually carry around like a little recorder or a book and just kind of record as much as I can as it happens.
That's really great. And how about how do the other guys, is it four other guys?
Yeah.
Okay. How do the other guys assist you in terms of the music? Or you just basically say, here it is. I mean, do you write it all down and say, here it is, I'm putting it in front of them and just start playing?
Well, I mean, usually, like in this case, you know, I recorded the whole album over here on the East Coast, and then I just brought it to the band, and we kind of just play that. I mean, we fiddle around with it a little bit to, you know, change it for a live environment, but most of it's already done, and then they kind of learn their parts from the record and get together and play.
Oh, so in other words, when you're recording it, you're not really, it's not the whole band recording?
No,
is that
it's
what
usually just me, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, do you think that makes it easier for you to do it? Or do you wind up, when you record it, do you, like, you know, keep doing different tracks? And like, okay, now you're playing the piano, and then another track you go on, you're playing the drums or things like that? Or you just...
Yeah, I kind of do as much as I can, and then if, you know, it needs something more. I've had a couple, like, we hired a studio drummer that was, you know, just a stronger drummer than me. But I usually have most of my ideas down, so I'll kind of record everything of how I want it to go, and then and then we'll just go from there.
Oh, great.
So
have you been touring with these guys for, like, a number of years?
Yeah, these same guys. We've been about 3-4 years now. We've driven countless miles. I think we passed 100,000 miles in January together on the road, which is, you know, crazy. But just a good group of guys, real laid back, real easy going, and we all get along really well. So we enjoy playing together. So it's kind of just kept us together.
So did finding these guys? You didn't go to Craigslist, did you?
No, actually. well, we tried that too, but it doesn't work as well. And you never know who's going to show up at your house. So
yeah, that's what I was hoping you'd say. Did you say no?
Yeah. But actually, the other guitarist in my band, we had the same manager, and he was kind of doing his own thing, and I was doing my own thing, and he introduced us, and we ended up just playing really well together. And it's just kind of expanded from there. We've gone through a lot of people, but when we found the ones that kind of fit, you know, the way that we want to play and our mentality and everything, we've stuck together. So
now you're coming to like in the song Runaway, was there any inspiration when you're doing it, or just like, I mean, do you have anything
well,
in your brain
was
when
more,
you?
Yeah, that one was all kind of a song to myself. A lot of the other stuff is for other people or experiences or things I've seen, but Runaway was just kind of myself, because just being an indie musician at the start is so difficult and so hard, and the millions of no's that you'll hear over and over and over again, and just kind of keeping that inspiration and drive for yourself to keep going if it's something you really believe in. Because, you know, the start, when you first really go out as an indie, it's one of the hardest things I've ever tried to do in my life. Those first few tours and just booking, I mean, every aspect of it was just incredibly difficult, and it almost seems like the industry's built against, you know, that whole approach, but we believed in what we were doing and just kept struggling and fighting, and that's what that song was about to me.
By the way, do you know that there was a song many years ago of that called Runaway?
There's been a few of them, I think. Yeah.
But then again, I'm much older than you are, and there was a guy, there was a singer named Del Shannon back in, I think, I'm guessing like maybe late 50s, early 60s, that had a song Runaway, and that's how I remember that song, and I'm thinking, oh, did you revive this? And I went, nope, not that at all.
Yeah, I think Bon Jovi had one too, actually, but I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. I looked afterwards.
Yeah. Now, what inspired you for the song Goodbye?
That was kind of a literal one. It was saying goodbye to someone that had haunted me for a long time, and I was just tired of writing songs about her, so that was the last one.
Ah. Also, in other words, you had other songs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That wrote about her.
Yeah, and then I was just tired of writing about that material, so Goodbye was my attempt at making that all stop. But it didn't really work, because I just kept writing songs about it. But at that moment, it felt like it would be something profound.
Yeah. Now, is this going to be the first time you're coming to New York?
No, we've been here quite a few times, actually. We were on tour here with Sister Hazel, and we played at the Fillmore, which was, you know, an amazing experience for us to be in a club that size with that many people. And then we've, Arlene's Grocery, we played there a couple times. But, I always have a great time here in New York. I love the food and I love the city. And it's just such a cool experience. The only thing I don't like is the traffic and trying to find a parking spot with a trailer.
It's
almost impossible.
How bad, is this going to be the first time you'll be in Queens, so Long Island City? Or have you been
We usually always stay in Queens, because, you know, it's a little bit cheaper than trying to stay in the richer parts of the city.
Oh, that's where I live, in Queens.
Yeah, and I love Queens. You know, it's just the cool vibe over there. It's just a whole different, it's kind of its own little city, I guess, it seems like.
So is this the first time you'll be at the LIC bar?
Yeah, absolutely.
Were you able to, like, come in and, like, check it out first?
I have not even seen this place, so I'm excited.
Oh. Yeah, me too. I haven't seen it either.
Well, we'll see it together. I hear they have a great patio.
Uh-huh.
Kind of what I'm looking forward to. But, yeah, it sounded like a cool place to go. You know, I'm always about just, you know, as much as we can, new experiences, new places, and new people, and any chance that we get, we'll take it, you know, no matter.
And
the same thing with our radio and everything. You know, it's great that we're having commercial success, but we still go to, you know, even the smaller stations. It really doesn't matter to us. Anyone that's supporting us or playing us, we'll go to. We've driven to stations where one station we went to had more cattle than people in the city. There was like 600 cows and 300 people, but you know.
Are you going to be giving out? Are you going to be selling your CD on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll have CDs and shirts and stickers and merchandise, and all kinds of stuff that allows us to eat. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got I collect shirts. I got to get a shirt. Matter of fact, I happen to be wearing one. There's a group called the Midtown Men, and it's the four original guys who were in the show Jersey Boys, and they got together. They decided to, like, do their own show. So I got to see them, and now I'm wearing, you know, one of their T-shirts. I collect. So I have to get one of yours now. And by the way, the area of Long Island City that you're going to is, like, really, I guess it's, like, new. It's been all built up. It's, like, become prime property over there. And I haven't, like, been over there to check it out. So it'll be interesting, like, for the both of us. And hopefully, if this all goes well, you even come back to LIC Bar. Was there any other places in Queens you were looking at? I'm just curious.
We weren't actually kind of looking at any specific area. We were just looking to come to the, this area of the country. And those were the clubs. The Living Room, offered us to book us, and then the LIC Club. So that was kind of it, really.
I understand, by the way, I guess, we don't have too many days. I was going to say, one of the great promotions, I guess, but LIC Bar should do the promotion, is that you can get a ferry from Manhattan that'll take you, well, not right there, but within, I guess, walking distance, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So hopefully you'll get the Manhattanites as well.
That would be pretty darn cool, for sure.
Yeah. So you have a mailing list, I guess?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a mailing list and Facebooks and Twitters and MySpaces and God
tweets
knows
and,
what
yeah,
else.
Right.
On social network, which is crazy.
Yeah. I know. I gave up. I have a blog, and then everybody started saying I should put on Twitter or Facebook, and I said I have enough. I can't do anything anymore.
It's just overwhelming. It will take over your life.
Yes. Yeah, it will. You do what you gotta do. But you have somebody that's working for you, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we've slowly kind of expanded the team size. At the start, it was, just me, but now we've got a pretty decent-sized group of people working with us.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess what I'm going to do is, because I'm going to get in and continue with my show on music, so I'm going to leave everybody with playing Goodbye, and then I'll see you on Sunday. I hope the food's good.
Yeah, me too.
If not, we have to go into Astoria, where all the Greek food is, then, which is not far from where the LIC Bar. All right?
I'm totally down for it. I'm a big fan of food.
Okay. All right, so I'll see you on Sunday then.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, Jared. Great having you on.
Thank you so much.
Okay, as in I say goodbye, here goes the song.
Monday morning, I'm late for work, can't find my keys, coffee, smoke, still a little hungover. I don't wanna know where you are, you're gone, you left me here. I don't even know what's left of me. Do you really need me here? Goodbye. You only asked us to sold, and now I see that you and me never really meant to be. I've been second to never, broke down, put back together, running down with control, control, leave it behind, rewind. I don't even know what's left of me. Do you really need to hear? Goodbye. You're just a memory. Someone. Does it have to lie to me?
been sitting here too damn long. I gotta find out for myself what's been wrong. So I'll be leaving now, the dance is done. I wanna feel like I've been someone. I believe I'll find my way, yeah. And I've always been so cold. But now
goodbye. And it's Jared, J-E-R-A-D, last name is Fink, F-I-N-C-K. Well, go Google it, and you can listen to more of his songs, get his albums, and as I said, I'll be seeing him this coming Sunday. As a matter of fact, Ernie's going to be joining me there. I need him to join me now, though. So let's do one of these. I'm going to do a, let's see, let's, I'm going to call him. Let's see how this works. Okay. We're dialing. Oh, he's calling. All right. Oh, no, that's not. So I'm calling him.
Hello.
Hello. You forgot to call in.
Oh, sorry. I was supposed to call you. Oh, my goodness. I'm getting so close.
Well, yes, but that's okay. You're on the air now because I called you.
Okay. All right.
That's the one thing that I like about this thing. I mean, like, I purposely upped on this thing with Blog Talk Radio for the thing that says that I can call a guest. And I said, this is great because it comes in handy for people like you who forget to call or don't remember you have to call me.
No, actually, I have the note in front of me. It's at 6:30, you know, Merle Show on 8:23, and you have has the phone number, so I'll know when you call me that it's you. I just understood that I was supposed to call you.
You call me. Okay.
Okay, all right. And not only that, but, you know, my beloved wife actually asked me to go and run a chore for her, and I told her, I'm sorry, it's 6:26. I cannot run a chore now. She goes, why? I go, it's Tuesday. I have an important date with a radio show. Yep.
Well, before we get into stuff, what I want to do, because, by the way, I just had Jared Fink, who's the guy we're going to sing on Sunday. So I just had him on the air. With a couple of songs. So what I'm going to do first before we get into stuff is I pulled a couple of songs from the album you gave me. So I'm going to be playing the first one, which just says, Don't Fear My Life. So that's I'm going to play that, and then we'll get into a chat. How about that?
Sure.
All right. Let's go.
All right.
All our times have come. charging men and women every day. That's what we're doing. 40,000 women every day. Another 40,000 coming in. We can be like, hey, come on, baby. Don't feel the reaper. We'll be
able to get it out of me.
Don't feel the reaper.
Like it is a life. We got to make the road break. It's my life. And it's now or never.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna live forever.
Come on.
I can't just do a thing in my way. I just know that you are alive.
They don't be afraid of it. Come on, baby. And she ran to me. Then they started to fly. They looked backward and said goodbye. She had become like they are.
Don't bend the break, baby, don't back down. It's
come
my
on,
life,
baby.
And it's now or never. I ain't gonna live forever.
Come on, baby,
I'm
on
gonna
the
live my life.
Don't feel
the reaper. My heart is like a soul.
But it's not
the
way
that it is.
As far as the guitar, right? Or are you?
Yes.
Okay, so like one day you picked up the guitar kind of thing and said, this is what I want to do as a hobby.
Well, actually, let me just say a couple of words about the song that you just played.
Sure, go ahead.
I hope we don't get in trouble with it, because what happened with the song is actually a mashup of two different songs from very popular artists. So I didn't write that. I just want to make sure that that is known.
Oh, okay.
No? Other than that, I just found the idea of taking two songs, which one of them is called It's My Life, and the other one is Don't Fear the Reaper. They are kind of
close to each other.
Like, I basically mashed them up and made one out of the two of them,
you know.
And I'm singing both parts.
You know, it's really funny because, like, I'm hearing it, I'm going, is he talking in the background? Does he know he's on the air? I mean, he can't talk
okay.
While I'm doing the music, because now I'm here. So what I did is I went, I don't know, I better put him on mute until the song is over. And I'm still going, but I keep hearing all this thing in the background. I did this. Now
yeah,
I get it.
Me.
Okay.
I'm that kind of guy. What can I say?
Oh,
but
okay.
Back to your question. I wasn't evading it. I just wanted to say something about the song.
No, that's okay.
Basically, really what happened is that I, for some reason, around the age of, I think, maybe 10 or 11, I fell in love with the guitar. Because I saw this really cute girl playing the guitar. I think that's what it was. And
you were in the old country at about that time, right?
In the old country, as there was two countries ago.
Yeah.
Actually, that was in Romania. And in Romania, we were quite poor and couldn't afford a guitar. So then after a while, we moved to Israel, where I actually myself got a job, and I started saving for a guitar, and it was complicated, but eventually I got one. And I went and tried to take some lessons with a couple of different instructors, and for various reasons, it just didn't pan out. So basically, I had, let's say, perhaps 5 or 6 lessons.
Right.
And after that, you know, like on and off, I pick it up and get, I guess, disappointed because it was hard work. But eventually, I kind of managed to make it sound like it's not just noise.
Right.
Yeah, I think I'm good for now.
So while you were when you were in Israel, when you had the guitar, were you composing your own music, or you were playing it to, you know, to other people's music?
Both, but I was very, I should say, I don't think I was very happy with the music, specifically because I grew up on, believe it or not, rock and roll. Even though I
uh-huh.
came from, you know, different countries, rock and roll was what we all loved.
Right.
So my English was not that great. I guess I still have an accent, obviously. But in those days, it was a lot worse.
But your English is okay now.
My English is okay, except I still have somewhat of an accent.
Yeah,
but in
we
those
got
days,
that.
You know, what
okay.
I was writing, I think, okay, what I was writing, I think, was like
yeah.
pretty, let's say, in retrospect, it was really bad. So I was doing some of my own stuff, but mostly other people's music.
Okay. So,
mm-hmm.
were you performing like when you were in Israel? Did
somewhat.
You get to a point that you start, you know, said, okay, now it's time to, you know, get myself in public. Did you do that?
Yes, I did. I had a band for. Well, I did a bunch of solo gigs. I even I tried to get some kind of contract with a record company, but that didn't work out. I had all kinds of gigs. There was solo gigs, I should say, right, by myself. And after a while, I got up with some friends of mine, a couple of neighbors, a couple of friends, or I should say one and two of each, something like that. And we got a band together. And we were, at the time, basically we loved what was then called progressive and underground and prog rock and things like that. So we would do a lot of covers, and in the band we actually didn't do anything original, which was one of the
right.
things that I wasn't happy with.
Were you singing songs in Hebrew, or were you singing them in English?
In the band we were singing in English, yes.
Oh, did you
when
ever...
I was doing solo gigs, I would... Sorry,
yeah.
go ahead.
No, so did you ever sing songs in Hebrew or compose songs in Hebrew?
Yes, absolutely. When I was doing solo gigs, it was like a mixed bag. I would do some in Hebrew and some in English. And I did write some songs in Hebrew. Actually, nowadays I'm very eclectic, and once in a while I kind of like to write songs in more than one language, which is funny because I don't think that many people understand all the languages that I'm using.
Okay. When you sang the songs, when you sang the songs, did you sing them right to left?
Good question. It's been so long ago, I have to think about that one. But I'll get back to you on that, okay?
Okay.
Perhaps I should practice one or two later, and so that I can actually have the, you know, hands-on answer for you.
Oh, okay. Did you, when did you come to the States?
I came to the States in December of 1975.
Oh, so it's, you were there, you know, for a while, so you were not a
in
young
Israel?
Boy.
Yes, I was there about 14 years.
Oh, okay. And so you came to the States. Now, what made you decide to come to the States anyway? Just curious.
You know, one of those things. I got married, and my wife got bored with Israel. I don't know why, but
So wasn't something like, you know, I'm dying to move to New York.
No, not really. She was actually raised in New York. She was born in Sweden, but she was raised in New York. So she wanted to come back to New York because New York is, well, it is much more happening than what Israel was at the time. I couldn't blame her, you know.
Mm-hmm. So that's why you came here. Now, once you got here, you know, when did you continue right with your music right then?
Not really. I auditioned for a few, I guess, different. I tried to get all kinds of different gigs, and I auditioned for, well, strangely enough, for a wedding band, which wasn't really up my, my alley exactly. But I turned it down. Actually, you know, I could have gotten that job, but I decided that no, I don't want to do that. And I was, strangely enough, not motivated enough by money, you know.
Uh-huh.
Which could have been a mistake. I should have tried to make more money when I was younger. But I started another band. Well, I didn't start another band. I joined another band, and we played a few gigs here and there. We actually even played the CBGBs one time, which was really, as far as I'm concerned, unnecessary because we didn't really fit that kind of scene, you know?
Yeah.
I could have done it, but the rest of the band was the style that we were actually singing at the time was somewhat more like prog rock or one of the prog rock because I wasn't that happy with it. Eventually, I left them. So,
One of the questions I wanted to ask, on the album here, Mr. L. Lime, is that what it says?
I actually, I made that up because I thought that it sounded cooler, like Leibovitz, which is my real name. And the reason it has two L's is because when I first started getting on the internet, I don't know, about 15, 20 years ago, something like that, the name Lime with one L was taken. So I added another L to it just to make it, you know, original and unique. So I can have my own emails and things like that.
Well, why Lime?
I kind of kept it.
Oh, I mean, why Lime?
Why Lime? Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good question, too. There were a few books that, they were not all spelled the same way. Well, actually, none of them was spelled the way I spell it. And one of them was spelled with a Y. It was a book called Lyme's Disease, which I thought was very, very interesting when I read it. And then there's, that guy in the movie, The Third Man. And I don't know, it seemed like an interesting kind of serious name, you know. I liked it. That was mainly what it was. I just liked the sound of it.
So you liked and stuck with it, huh?
Yeah. I'm pretty stuck with it because by now, you know, a lot of people know me by that name. So, you know, when I go to, let's say, Nears and, some people, I go, Mr. Lime is in the house, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get into that in a few minutes, the place here in Woodhaven. But I know that that you like to do a lot of karaoke.
Yes.
And of course, with the karaoke, you're not singing any of your own songs, just singing other people's songs. Do you prefer that?
Not really, but there were times when I didn't have a band, and, instead of, like, just not doing anything, I wanted to be somewhere where there's, like, more than just myself with a guitar, you know?
Right. Okay.
Karaoke seem to be an interesting way of doing that. Also, in the near future, which I hope you'll have time for, I intend to do some kind of, I don't know, different kind of show, but part of it will incorporate some karaoke style songs, but with more my own lyrics. So I intend to write lyrics to well-known songs, and do them karaoke style.
Oh, okay.
There's a reason to it. I want to put them in a context of like a narrative.
Yeah, are you planning to do this before you go back to
yes.
to Israel?
Yes, I intend to do is start something that I'm loosely calling, and I think we might stay with Tales from the Cutting Room Floor. So it's going to be a series of stories that will have music incorporated in the stories. And it will loosely be kind of like, well, the concept is like a series of movies that were never made for various reasons. To be like a reading of a script, more or less, with some of the songs that I will, some of them I will sing with, you know, accompanying myself with a guitar, and others I will play a kind of, you know, like a background karaoke style and sing my own lyrics to that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
so,
I hope you'll enjoy that.
So, like, I mean, other than, you know, since, you know, living in New York here, I mean, have you, like, gone out of the area to perform kind of stuck to kind of, I mean, are you getting gigs or are you just, like, just happy enough just going out there and just singing?
Well, currently I'm happy just going out there and singing because... For a few years, I was singing in, I should say, with a couple of different groups of ethnic musicians. So
right.
We actually did, you know, like, what should I say? I since I'm fluent in a bunch of languages, we did a lot of Hebrew and Hungarian and Gypsy music and all kinds of that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I haven't done anything. Yeah, for a while I was going out of the area, but mostly not too far. Like maybe we had a few gigs in New Jersey, we had a few in Connecticut, someone, you know, like the Hamptons, Long Island, things like that. We never went really like on a big tour or anything.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what are the Song Weavers? What is that?
Pardon me?
This thing, Song Weavers.
Oh, Song Weavers. All right. Well, about 5 years ago, I had this idea that the music business is really falling apart, or the music business, I should say, the way we used to know it, is not here anymore. Because since then, it totally disintegrated. So I was trying to put together some kind of an organization that will be, in a sense, creating a new paradigm, a new way of creating music and marketing it and selling it. So as a part of that, I put together this website called songweavers.com, and I have a couple of thousand members from all over the world. I have a few partners. I should say that I'm not alone in this, but I'm the head honcho. I'm the one who wrote everything. And I'm the one who put together the stuff.
When you say you wrote everything, what do you mean? Is the song you
wrote? Not the music. The music, we have members that there are from all over the world that wrote the music. I actually coded the website.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant. I wrote the code.
Oh, okay. So in other words, you basically, the CD that I have, you compiled a bunch of these members. Not
yes,
necessarily
exactly.
Ones that you've performed with.
That's, well, in this case, there were members from around the area because it was specifically for that particular gig that we did that in the neighborhood. So it's a compilation. There was actually a bunch of people from around this area.
Oh, okay.
But all members of Song Weavers.
Oh, okay, got it. So tell us about this place that you, this bar, where's? Where is it?
The bar is located in Woodhaven. It's on 78th Street in the corner of 88th Avenue. I don't know the number. But it's one of the oldest bars in New York City. It's called Mears. And it has a very rich history. It's a place where I guess films like Goodfellas were filmed over there, and a lot of old-time performers used to perform there back in the day. There used to be a bowling alley. It's like a very rich history, but, you know, for me to actually get into it, I don't remember all of it. The easiest way to do that is, you know, anearstavern.com for anyone interested. But they have a very, very interesting music scene that's really starting to move. And in the last, I'd say in the last year or so, I started hanging out there once in a while. And once in a while, I do a little gigs. Other than that, I go when they have open mic nights, which is every Wednesday. They have a poetry session that they call Tongue Threat every last Tuesday of the month, which is very fascinating, and I go for that too. Can I say? It's really a great place, and I'm glad there's finally something happening in my neighborhood.
Yeah, so this way you don't have to schlep into Manhattan either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There were actually days when I was schlepping into Manhattan, and well, back in those days, you know, I used to hang out with a bunch of people that had a sort of a songwriter's circle. And we were meeting in the village somewhere, and we would meet in the village and every Monday evening. And when we're done with the meetings, we used to go to Folk City and perform over there. Which is kind of fun.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, they had Mondays, they used to have open mic nights. So we'd all go, you know, the whole group. Some of those people actually are still around making some really good music.
Oh, great.
Well, yep.
So right now your aspiration is to put another CD together and keep performing and get some gigs. Oh, you know what I wanted to ask? I want to make sure I ask. When I do karaoke, when I sing, or even when I sing in the house, the first thing I have to do is I have to look at the music and transpose it into my key. I never noticed you ever had to do that. You don't care. You just sing every note.
Actually, I'm a little bit blessed. I think my range is quite, you know, quite nice. I'm happy with that. But besides that, I usually try to sing things that actually fit inside that range, so that I don't have to worry about, you know, can I take that note or not. I stay within, you know, certain parameters, I should say.
Oh, so you already know in advance, kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just thought you faked it, and I'm going, oh, my God, is he going to hit that note? And he just, hit that note.
Yeah. Actually, sometimes I hit some notes that surprise the hell out of people. You're like, wow, where'd that come from? I surprise myself too sometimes, which is good.
Well, I guess if you keep, you know, for all the years of singing, if you sort of force your voice, if you're constantly doing it and you're forcing your voice to sing higher and higher, you don't have to go into head tones. I mean, for a lot of things.
That is true, yes. Yes, it's like anything else. It's a muscle or whatever you want to call it. But I'd say, you know, like there's some kind of muscles in your throat, and you basically train them to enable them to hit higher notes. You know, I just wanted to add something since you were asking me about songweavers.
Yeah.
I wanted to add a couple of things about songweavers.
Go ahead. Say anything you want.
Yeah, namely that a couple of my partners are actually Israelis. And one of them somehow has, you know, has some connections with some pretty important people over there. So as a result of that, we actually have a song with lyrics that were donated by Shimon Peres, who's the president of Israel and a Nobel Peace Prize laureate. And I actually wrote lyrics to that. I mean, I wrote music to that. He wrote the lyrics, I wrote the music. So I have a song that I wrote with the president of Israel.
Oh,
and another interesting thing, that maybe you'll tie in with your journalistic things, which I never mentioned to you, but you should know. You know the Jerusalem Post, right?
No.
The Jerusalem Post is basically I think it's a weekly paper or a daily paper. I can't remember right now. But it's a newspaper located in Israel, published in Israel, and it's published in English, and it's probably the largest English publication for the Jewish world population.
Right.
So basically, the Jews in the world, this is their main, the ones who speak English, this is their main paper. So the Jerusalem Post is actually a 5% partner in the Songweavers.
Uh-huh.
We made a deal with them where we got them as partners so that they can use our site for their basically their music department online. And in return for that, we received, I don't remember, a bunch of advertising from them, which was nice.
Yes.
But I thought you might find that interesting.
I find everything you say interesting, Ernie.
Thank you.
Or that's Mr. Lime.
Yeah, oh, yes, that too. That's me.
Well, I'm going to play Whiskey Swing. And now, is this something that you wrote?
Whiskey Swing was the lyrics, the music was written by an Italian guy who calls himself Danny Blues. And I never met him, but he wrote the music and he uploaded it to Songweavers. And I went and I wrote the lyrics and I recorded it and remixed it and put it back on. And, I wrote the lyrics, he wrote the music.
Cool. All right, I'm going to play that now and then I'll get right back to you, okay?
Okay. Sure.
Here we go. Doing the whistling?
Yes.
Oh, I did you make sure you didn't have crackers before, right?
Absolutely.
Could you do it? Maybe we'll try that. On Sunday, I'm going to make sure you have some crackers and I'll ask you to see if you can sing, if you can whistle.
Just make sure you stand in front of me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to spit at any strangers, you know.
Yeah, we can check out LIC Bar apparently they seem to have a lot of entertainment, you know, constant mm-hmm. entertainment there. So that could be a second. Well, it's, I mean, it's not local that you can walk to, but, you know, it's local enough to, you know, to get there. But
yeah, got you. Okay.
Yeah, that should be interesting. So
absolutely, and it's so great to have somebody who will drive me, so I can have a couple of brewskis. That's the best part.
Are you? Oh, I. You know, I keep forgetting. I know. I know that you. You know, like tend to drink almost anything. You're not a. You don't stick to any one particular liquor kind of thing. Are you? Extremely knowledgeable on beer, or is beer not your thing?
I am actually quite knowledgeable on beer, and I actually do stick to one liquor. I'm a very, very big cognac drinker.
Oh, cognac. Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cognac and beer, but, you know, I kind of gave up on beer a little bit because I'm you know, I'm getting like a little larger in the midriff. You know, I'm still trying to carry my weight around, so I try to minimize beer, but I'm actually quite knowledgeable about beer.
The reason I'm asking is I'm going out to dinner tomorrow night at this place. It's a steakhouse, and they have this whole thing with beer, and I'm looking at the list, and I've heard of some of these, and then there's a whole thing I've never heard of. And I don't know, like, really, not that I don't know the difference. I couldn't tell you the difference between what's a lager, an ale, something that's amber, something, you know, that, or one that's made from wheat. Do you know all of this?
Pretty much, yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what I'll do is, I mean, I won't ask you now. Oh, may I just ask you a couple of questions? Here's one that they sell called Estrella Dam Dora from Spain, and it says it's gluten free. So what the hell what is it made with? I mean, what's the thing that's, well, it can't be any wheat, right? Of course. What else is in there?
Some beers are made out of rice. I don't even know. I'm trying to remember what's gluten in. You know, does rice have gluten?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't think it's made
out of rice, so there's no gluten.
What's the basic thing? It's wheat, hops, right?
Not necessarily. Wheat is not really the main ingredient. You know, it's I guess more like, I don't know, barley?
Oh, barley. Okay.
Yeah. Well, wheat, there are wheat beers, which are like a specialty. Well, around here, they're becoming bigger. I mean, there's a Belgian white that is becoming very popular. It's like Blue Moon. You probably saw it around.
Right. That's the one I like.
That one is a wheat beer. And,
Do you prefer wheat beer?
It's a wheat beer, but it's a slightly different wheat beer because it's a white wheat beer as opposed to, you know, some German wheat beers there are.
Oh, okay.
And one thing that I really like about German wheat beers is that a lot of them are unfiltered. So you get, like, the full flavor, you know. Anyway, I guess it's an acquired taste, but I happen to like that. And if you go to a nice German style bar, or even any kind of bar that has a decent selection of taps, they will have some kind of German wheat, and you have it usually with a nice slice of lemon in it, as opposed to the Belgian white, which you have with a nice slice of orange in it.
Okay, here's a list. The German, they have Habrau original.
Hofbrau?
Oh, is that what it says?
Hofbrau.
No, it's just H-O... No, there's no F. H-O... Looks like H-O-B-R-A-U. Unless they spelt it wrong.
It's, well, the one that I know is Hofbräu. It's almost the same, except he has an F in the middle.
Yeah, so it, and it says it's a German lager.
Yes, that's nice. It's a nice lager.
And there's a Radeberger Pilsner.
Radeberger
is Czech. Which I don't know what the, that means.
It's a lager. It's from Czech Pilsner. I'm sorry. It's a Pilsner. It's a Czech Pilsner. It's the Pilsner is very similar to the lager, except I think usually it has a little bit less alcohol. I mean, an average lager would have maybe like 6% alcohol, and the Pilsner might have 5.2 or something like that.
Okay. And there's one.
But oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to ask you one. This whole Yuengling, Y-E-U-N-G-L-I-N-G.
Yeah, I know. I know that one. That's an American beer.
That's an American.
Yes, it's supposed to be the older brewery around, I think.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you the rest later because I think my next caller is calling in. But
before you go, since you asked me about beers, if you really want to sample something extraordinary, you should try to find some kind of Belgian Trappist ale. That's an ale that's actually made by Trappist monks. And they have like a method. They make it kind of like a champagne. They actually put yeast in the bottle before they seal it. So they have to put a cage on the bottle so it won't explode. I mean, it won't explode before it's time. So it's kind of like a champagne. And most of them actually, I think, are extraordinary.
Okay. I see four Belgian beers. None of them are that. But
which one?
The Belgian beer, they say Palm Amber, Quack Powell, looks like Whitakirk. Those are the three on draft, and the one, the bottled beer, is Chimay Blue.
Okay,
no, two of them bottled.
The Chimay Blue is a Trappist monk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it says Trappist Ale. Okay, that's the one?
That's the Trappist Ale. That one, you should try that one.
Okay.
Know what I'm talking about, because I think it's excellent. And also the Kirk, which is a lambic. Is that a lambic in a bottle?
No, the that's just on draft.
Okay, I don't know. The Kirk usually is, I think, there's a method that they infuse fruit flavors in the beer. That usually I think it's Kirk and Lambic. I don't know exactly what those stand for, but they're quite expensive. And they're so delicious, you wouldn't even be able to tell it's a beer. They taste like a very, very tasty soda. They make like a cherry flavor, a strawberry flavor, I think. Very, very delicious. And the Belgian, again, they're Belgian. Anyway.
Well,
if you're,
I'm going to do my best to taste a little sip of as many of these as possible.
Yeah, do that. Definitely.
Okay.
All right,
Ernie.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for... by the way, is your show recorded somehow or available on the internet?
Yes, it is. It's recorded. It's archived. Yep. You got it.
It's archived? So let me know how I can get to it. I want to, you know, like put a link to it on my site or something.
Yeah, I'll call you right after the show, and then tell you what to do.
I'll tell you where to go.
Okay.
Yep.
And by the way, the song that today's song that it is, I feel the earth move under my feet. That's the today's song.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for the earthquake. You know. Got it.
All right.
Okay. And the question of the day, though, the question of the day is, whose fault is it?
I don't know, but I heard people are already trying to blame it on Obama.
Okay. I'll talk to you later, Ernie.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Oh, God. Yeah, Ernie never flicks. He'd giggle a little under his breath. Well, So here I was at this bakery. Oy vey, smear. I was at this kosher bakery. And I'm talking and schmoozing. And I don't even remember how did I get in conversation with you?
Well, I heard you that the baker was giving away his recipe for chiffon cake.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to you, wait a minute, are you giving away your recipe? Because if you are, I'm getting a pencil. Piece of paper. I'm going to write it down, too.
You know, I don't remember. I have to take a look at my notes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I kind of wrote. I don't think he gave me exact amounts. But
nah, he wouldn't
think,
give you the exact.
No,
I'm not going to do that.
You too. I mean, don't you love chiffon cake? It's like,
well, I really go in there. I really go in there for the onion puffs and the rye.
Oh, you mean the pockets?
Yeah, the onion pockets.
Onion pockets. Oh,
right.
Well,
yeah.
They don't. Just for me, they were delicious. But do not do well on me at all.
Oh, no, I know you can't do too much of that. But I was very surprised he doesn't have the Charlotte Russe.
Charlotte Russe!
That's missing.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. Charlotte Russe, you know, I didn't think about that.
No.
Well, wait a second. Yeah, it just occurred to me. With Charlotte Russe, they were using, did they use fake milk? I realized there's something. There are kosher bakeries.
That's
probably
what
the difference.
Is. Thank you. Do you see that? I never realized that.
Well,
you're
probably
right.
here could be the reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a difference probably going to a kosher bakery
mm-hmm.
and going to a bakery that's parv.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's parv, then they can't use it. Because
that's right.
Where you can have the cake with whatever you eat.
No, you can't have that with a cream whipped cream.
Right.
That
so that's what
it's got to be the milk product. Yeah.
So probably so here because when I grew up, I'm thinking I went into a kosher bakery and I probably did because it was all that type of cake.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as you said that, I remember Charlotte Russe. So
mm-hmm.
I remember that. And
mm-hmm.
then, so now it occurred to me, that's probably why that it was a kosher bakery, but it wasn't parv.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
It's interesting. Anyway.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I also didn't, you know what else? I didn't say anything crumb buns either.
Mm. Oh, wow. Missing a few important items there, huh?
Right, but what I have, oh, God, I had to call one of my friends to intervene.
Yeah. Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, today, I mean, I don't know. Did you feel the earthquake?
Oh, my God, did I? I was sitting in my therapist chair, and I had a client with me. And my chair, I figured it was I'm having a dizzy spell because my head was moving. Like, I felt the movement in the chair, but I reinterpreted it as it was like just an internal experience I was having in my head. So I figured, all right, well, maybe it's like an impending stroke or something. And I decided the best thing to do was to ignore it, which I just ignored it. But it stopped, and then it started again. There was maybe a second where it stopped and then started again. Well, when it started again, the movement, I got up and I was going to say, I don't think I'm feeling too well. But she stood up at the same minute and said, oh, my God, my chair is moving. So then we both realized that, you know, it was like something really bad was happening. The floor was moving. So
where were you?
I'm in my office in North Belmore, which is used to be the garage. It's, you know, it's part of the house. It's a converted garage. It's at the. It's attached to the house.
That's interesting. So you felt that you were in any kind of like tall building or anything?
No, ground. I'm very ground level. My office is like, you know, walk in from the street, ground level. But what happened was I left, you know, I said to my client, I think you should leave, like go outside because the house might not be safe. And I went into the house and wanted to alert my husband who has an office. Also, his is in the den. And as he wasn't working at the time, as I was approaching him, he heard me coming. He came up the stairs. He said, "The house is moving." I said, "I know, I know." So he got on the phone with 911, which, of course, he couldn't get through. And I grabbed my cell phone, and I went outside to call the gas company, figuring maybe like it's a gas thing that's going to explode. So he did get through the police who told him what it was. But meanwhile, my next client was coming, and she got out of her car, saw me outside, and was walking over to me. And she said, "My car was shaking." So she felt it, that we realized at that point that, you know, then my husband confirmed it, like this was like not just our house, this was like something happening. We thought in the neighborhood, and then, you know, we found out that this was like the whole, from Virginia up to Toronto. Really?
I guess the whole thing was so weird. I mean, like, I'm watching TV, I'm watching all my children, and then I had some guy at my house who was also, he came over, and he's doing, you know, using the weed whacker in the front of the house, whatever.
Yes.
Not even thinking about anything at all. And then he's, you know, he's done, he leaves, and it's like, oh, a couple of minutes after 2, and I go, oh, okay, I missed the end of all my children. Let me turn on another station.
Uh-huh.
I turn on the channel to CBS, and they're talking about this earthquake. And
yes.
I'm going, what the hell are they talking about?
Oh, you didn't feel it. You didn't feel
it. Now, here was my reaction to this whole thing.
Yes.
I probably thought, if I felt the earthquake, I probably thought, oh, my God, it's time to stop eating those cakes. I'm having a sugar high.
It's the chiffon cake. It's the chiffon cake.
That's probably what it went through my head is
yes.
Either that or, God, here's this other truck coming down the street.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes.
Not a thing. You know, I do remember, like, but my cats, like, they perked up. And I thought, they perked up because, what do you call it? The guy is around and they're hearing the noise. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Not even thinking. The only one thing that made me think that I might have, that there was any experience, was there was this piece of paper on the floor in the kitchen. And I thought to myself, God, those cats, they get to everything. And I was kind of, it was such an odd thing of that particular piece of paper because it's not like them to knock something off of this particular thing. And I just,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think about it. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that was about it.
Wow.
Anyway. So let's
yes.
get to
So I approached you at the bakery to tell you that another exciting thing aside from Zucker's Bakery.
Yeah.
Was that there's a lot of jazz going on in Long Island. And when I first got interested in jazz and listening to it and singing it, I was going into the city all the time. And my favorite thing to say to people was, there's no jazz on Long Island. It's not live music. It's all like, you know, on the computer and piped in. But as of recently, I've discovered some really good places to hear live music. And so that's what I was telling you about. In particular, my favorite place to go on a Monday night is the Fox Hollow Inn in Syosset, where they have really good musicians come in. And it's a jam, and it's also singer-friendly. So if you are a singer and you want to get to sing, it's a good opportunity. And so that's how this started, our conversation.
Fox Hollow Inn, do they do shows there?
They might occasionally, but it's mostly what it is. Did they ever do plays? I don't think so. It's what it is. The Fox Hollow is really, it's a big catering place. It's an inn, and it's also, one building is an inn, and the other part of it is, the other building is for weddings and stuff, but they have, and it's a restaurant. There's a restaurant in it, and so that's where the music takes place. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
because when you said that, I mean, boy, talk about flashback and nostalgia.
Mm.
They were doing dinner theater there.
Oh,
at one point.
I bet they were.
And, God, what a flashback. And I got a phone call. One of my friends, they were doing Fiddler on the Roof.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends had one of the leads in it. And they say, guy says to me, listen, they need somebody, they need Golda. And he says, do you want to audition for it?
Uh-huh.
I says, well, when do they need it? And he says, well, 2 weeks. I said, I got 2 weeks to learn everything you mean? He said, yeah. And I said, I just took it as a, oh, what the hell? And I went out there. I auditioned. They gave me one rehearsal with the cast.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought to myself, am I crazy?
Uh-huh.
You had to see me. I'm running off the stage and looking at the script right before every time I have to go back on. But that just came to my mind. Anyway, so now they have jazz there, but there's other places then, right?
There are other places, too. There's a place for instrument, mostly instrumental, although they are a little bit singer-friendly, and that's at the Murphy's Bar and Grill, which is in Mineola on Old Country
mm-hmm.
Road. And that's on Tuesday night. It starts around 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
What got you into singing? It's like this is what you really wanted to do?
Yes. Well, I really wanted to do it when I was a teenager. And then I got sidetracked and I didn't pursue it. I was always interested in jazz singing. And I think when I came of age to start a career, the music got more political and more serious and it was more folk singing. And jazz singing just seemed to not be the thing. It didn't seem as relevant, singing love songs, when we were singing songs about war and peace. So I changed courses. I became a therapist. But it was actually after 9/11 that I realized how much I had wanted to sing. I was surprised that after the 9/11 incident that I immediately bought myself a keyboard and felt that it was something unfulfilled that I really wanted to get back to. And so that's when I started doing that. I started to take lessons and go to workshops and go to open mics and been doing that for a few years. And then I started to record. So I've gotten a lot of encouragement along the way and I love it, and I love to be in that environment of musicians and singers.
The songs, are they original or did you know?
No, they're
not
all the standard. They're all from the American.
Okay. So what I'd like to do right now is I want to play. I loaded up two songs, so I want to play one of them.
Okay.
So people can hear your voice. I'm going to play 99 Miles from L.A.
Ah, that's that was a popular song. That wasn't like from the jazz idiom, but I've always loved it, and I kind of tried to make it sound a little more jazz-oriented. It's an old Johnny Mathis song. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Keeping my hands on the wheel, I hold
Pretty song, isn't it?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I recognize the. Let me see if I got this though. Recognize the melody. From the movie Philadelphia.
I really don't know. If that was in the movie, I don't know. I'm going to check that out.
I got to check. That's the one with Tom Hanks.
I'm not aware if they used that on a soundtrack. I really am not aware of that.
Now I'll have to Google it later because when I heard it, I kind of I said, oh, that's in that movie. Oh, that's okay. Oh, but I just went, oh, look at that. That's that song.
Wow.
But I mean, no one's ever sang lyrics or anything. It was just I heard the tune going by.
Well, yes, it might be, or it might be another song that's similar or sounds similar. I know that as the big Johnny Mathis song of, I don't remember when, maybe in the 60s or late 50s or something.
So were you playing the keyboard in this?
No. No, those were all really very accomplished musicians who I got to work on it with me.
What about when you're going to the clubs? Are you bringing your keyboard, or you're hoping someone else will come to you?
No, I'm going where I know there are musicians. I know the musicians
at this
point of where I'm going, and so I know I'm safe.
That's good to know. Yeah. So you just kind of.
When I do a show, it's a thing where you get your own musicians for sure. Yeah, you hire your own, and bring them with you.
Oh, okay. So how long? So you've been doing this like since 9/11, since 2001, then.
Well, actually, I started at maybe around 2008, you might say. I started singing then, but I started with workshops and lessons and open mics.
Oh, cool. So how often now are you doing this?
Well, right now I go out. I work in the evenings until just about 9 o'clock, and then I can go locally in Long Island and be able to do my do jobs. I'm able to do my therapy work and then go out and sing afterwards. So I'm going out at least twice a week, and then on the weekends as well in the city. I go into a place called Nirvana on Lexington between 39th and 40th and do some singing there. So I'd like to sing as often as I can.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I see on your album it says Bring My Lover Near from the upcoming CD, Make Me Your Lover. Is that meaning you have a CD coming up?
Well, yes. We recorded four selections, and then we had to come to a pause, and hope to continue soon to finish it. Yeah, it got some good reviews. The that's called an EP, the small one, and it promises to be a good CD.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
and of course you get to sell them at the shows, right?
Yes, and then I sell over a CD Baby.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
CD Baby is an online place to buy music for independent artists.
Uh-huh.
And you can buy the whole CD, or you can buy one selection.
Right. Also, let me ask you, like, now when you're going to these places,
mm-hmm.
Are you showcasing, or are they forking over money?
Oh, no. I'm nobody's forking over money at this point.
Oh, so it's called showcasing, right?
Yes.
Now, how about the people? When the people are coming in, are they paying like a cover charge and a drink minimum or anything?
Oh, it's a terrific thing. You can go and you can buy a drink, or you can have your dinner, or you can you don't need to spend a lot of money. You can really spend very little money and hear some terrific talent.
What I'm asking is are the people who are the patrons,
uh-huh,
are they obligated in any way to spend money?
Not really. No.
Oh, okay.
Not really. It's nice if they do, of course, but
But
you can go. You can go to the Fox Hollow, you can eat dinner, or you cannot eat dinner. But you can sit at the bar. You can order a drink, or perhaps not. But the music is there. And so it's one of these situations where if you feel like putting money in the jar for the musicians, you do. And if you don't, you don't.
I guess that's not the thing. The thing is the reason I'm asking is what got me like out of show business was this whole thing. It's like a lot of places think they're doing you a favor. It's like they're doing me a favor by allowing me to get up in front of an audience.
That's
and
it,
it's like
it.
They don't pay, and I don't mind if they're not paying, if I'm auditioning or something like that, but knowing that the people coming in and now have to pay a cover charge and a two-drink minimum, so they're forking over money and I'm not getting anything, and then the place is thinking like they're doing me a favor. After a while, I said, I'm not playing this game anymore.
Well, absolutely. You have to be driven to want to sing. You have to be driven and really enjoy it to a point where you're willing to be doing it because you want to do it.
Right.
So it's not a place where you're going to get rich.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I was
curious about
whether, mm-hmm, whether the places were demanding anything of the patrons when you were,
These places that I'm mentioning, it's really low-key.
Oh.
Nobody's demanding anything.
No, that's good to know. I mean, that you're not forced.
No.
That's good. All right.
I think if more people knew about it, there'd be more people coming out.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
true. So again, so do you want to name some places and get this on the air of where?
Oh,
besides Fox Halloween.
Yes, then there's Wickers. There's Wickers on Old Country Road in Hicksville. On Thursday nights, they have an open mic. Then there are other places that they kind of flicker on and, you know, like there's an open mic one week and then another week there isn't. But a place to find out about music on Long Island is there's a website, and it's called Bill Follery. It's the man's name is B-I-L-L-F-O-O-L-E-R-Y. And he has a blog, and he keeps current with a listing of the music that's going on that week on the island.
Right.
And a whole calendar. And so you can, if you check that, you see what's going on, and it's current. The places
mm-hmm.
I mentioned to you are regular, like the Tuesday night at Murphy's, and the Monday night at Fox Hollow, and the Thursday night at Wicker's. Those are steady, weekly things that go on.
Now, are you stuck on, you know, being on Long Island? Is that just the way you
want
to hang?
Well, you see, I only because I live here and I work here, and these things that I like to do go on at night. They usually start at 9 or 10 o'clock, and I work until 9 o'clock. So,
right.
So it's possible. That's why it's possible for me to do this if I stay on the island.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm asking, I'm finding some places. I like Sunday night, I'm going to this place called LIC Bar in Long Island City, and I've never been there before. And I just the beginning of this show, I was interviewing a singer who's going to be there.
Ah.
I don't know what the story is,
mm-hmm.
But it looks like they have a lot of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what time they start. They're doing. I mean, this is something specific that they're doing. I don't know if it's for the, but I think a lot for the press.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy's performing. But you know, it's a place to check in. Before I spoke with you, I was speaking with my friend Ernie, and there's a place here in Woodhaven that does, like, you know, open mics and all kinds of things, and that's one of his local places.
Great.
So, you know, I always like to, you know, pass around information.
That's wonderful to know. You know, I'm going to call you later, just you and me, and find out the name of some of these other places that you're mentioning.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
But right now, believe it or not, I have a client coming. So I'm gonna have to go.
Okay, so I'm gonna let you go, and then while when you're going, what I'm gonna do is play "Here's That Rainy Day."
Ah, so, good. Okay.
As you leave.
Oh,
okay.
Well, that's all right. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So
much,
I'll, you have my home phone number, right?
I think so. Yes.
Okay. I'll talk to you later then.
Right on. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, so here we're going to play Here's That Rainy Day.
Maybe I should have saved those leftover dreams, honey, but here's that rainy day. Here's that rainy day they told me about, and I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way. Where is that worn-out witch that I threw aside after it brought my lover near? That rainy day is here. Da 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 that rainy day.
Well, we had enough of those rainy days here, but I think they're talking about getting another. I think Hurricane Irene is creeping in or something. Anyway, so that was Sonia Perkins with the Here's That Rainy Day, and I'll talk to her later about some places that she can do her thing at. So. I went to see a show. What was it called? I didn't even think of the show. A Jew Grows in Brooklyn. That was it. Jake Ehrenreich. And it was very fun. He was funny, cute. The guy sings, all kinds of stuff. And I uploaded a couple of songs because I never, we were talking about Ernie with being in Israel, which doesn't mean you're necessarily going to hear Yiddish songs. So I just kind of loaded up a couple of songs, but I want to play, let's see if I can find this here. Maybe I didn't load this up. Let's see. Because I didn't get to it yet. I didn't get to learning it up. Oh, I wanted to load this up. Let's see. No, okay. I'll load it up another time. Let's see. Oh, I really need to pull up some more songs that I want to play. Unfortunately, I was trying to get... Well, I've been watching the show Glee. And I enjoy it because it's almost like watching a variety show each time I see it. So it's just not just the plot. I find it very entertaining. And with that, they had the Glee Project. And so they had a group of... I guess, I don't know if you want to say teenagers. I don't know. High school, college. I mean, I'm not clear. I guess it must be college because I think they're all over 18 years old. I'm not sure. But anyway, so I'm watching the show and just, seeing, who's getting eliminated, et cetera, et cetera. And I get an email regarding a group that's called Celtic Thunder, and because they're going to be appearing in New York, and so I was kind of looking at it, and I emailed back and I said, well, send me the CD and whatever, and then I got into conversation, and she said to me that this guy is on the Glee Project. And I went, oh. So because of that, I went back to the Glee Project. What's his name here? I'm looking. Oh, God, the glasses. Wait a second here. Damien McGinty. So, yeah, so Damien. And so I'm watching this, and... Oh, I got to put this on speaker so I can... All right. Here we go. Make your little noise. Okay, so... So now at this point, I noticed that Damien was winds up being one of the four at the end of this. And as it turns out, they had two winners
And if you, and I'll say two runner-ups, because there were the two winners will get their characters, and the other two will have a couple of episodes written in for them. So made it nice that Damien won. And, well, hopefully I'm going to get him on another show to chat and to also to talk about this group, Celtic Thunder. So that's what I'm looking to. In the meantime, now tomorrow I'm going to be doing another show. I have to put this up. And I have, that's the other thing. I like to watch the chef shows to see the competition ones. And as I'm watching, this was MasterChef. As I'm watching MasterChef and I'm watching, getting to the end, and, you know, like I'm thinking, oh, she'll never win. They never take a woman. Have you ever noticed that? I noticed that. It's like the woman always, like, leaves early or whatever, or it ends up, you know, there's a man and a woman always, like, with that, the competition, and the man wins. Okay. So, fortunately, it was the woman who won. So I was very happy with that. And I'm not going to reveal, in case if you saw it, you saw it. And so she will be on my show tomorrow. And I want to kind of get into how she got to do it, what her experience was there. And I know not to ask anything that I'm not allowed to ask. So basically, that's the story with that. And so I'm going to end the show now, so I can go eat and have something to drink. And where is my? Let's see. They need to say goodbye too. Okay, but I'm going to say goodbye till tomorrow. So have a good day, evening, and don't let the earth move under your feet, you know.